Hello, good morning. This is Álvaro Andoin speaking at Filmato on Twitter from the Brody Theatre. I'm here with Daryl Olson and Bo. Hello, how are you doing, guys?
Really good, thanks.
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah. We were just chatting now of Mick that I was asking you, Daryl, what you work for Impro Brain. I can say that. Brainwave, which is, what is Brainwave exactly?
Great. Brainwaves is a performance improv group, and we're what most people would call short form, where we're playing shorter scenes and talking to the audience in between scenes. Not necessarily games, but just not 45-minute scenes. So like 10-minute scenes, games, where we're getting a suggestion from the audience each time and then performing. But we also teach class when we do a group of shows here in Portland, Oregon at the Shoebox Theater, where everyone of any level is invited to the class. And whether your interest is to be on stage being an improviser, or your interest is to take the principles and practices of improv into your workplace or just add them to your life, what we try to do in our class is take 8 to 10 people and try to give them the feel of being a performance ensemble for 4 weeks. They meet 4 times and then have a performance with the members of the company at the end of those 4 weeks. So our focus is really on the best practices, which is being changed by what you hear, being fit and well, being fearless, always being curious, not being afraid to make mistakes, and supporting the other improvisers. So one of our beliefs is the idea of you shine, I shine, by making another improviser look good, or by, you know, noticing them on stage, you're opening the door to make yourself look good and letting your own natural talents come out. Uh-huh. And that's what we try to teach.
Fitting well is a great term, and I was hoping you could maybe define it.
Hmm. Absolutely. I was going to just ask us both. That was really interesting. Thank you.
When we say fitting well, we mean you're in a place of, if you go and watch improv, improvisers are at a place of joy. They're on stage doing something that's, for most people, extremely frightening, which is to go on stage with no script, no director a lot of times, so basically working without a net. And all you have for success is your belief in yourself and your belief in your fellow players and the audience. So to do that, we believe you have to be in a place of being what we call fit and well, which is you're in a place of, this is where I want to be. And it means that you give yourself permission to be vulnerable. You give yourself permission to take risks on stage, even though you might make mistakes. And you're not afraid of mistakes. You're embracing mistakes. And so you give yourself permission to be vulnerable so you can make bold choices with the other actors. And that's what we mean by fit and well. A lot of times, improvisers will go on stage and they won't get to action. Or they'll go negative, they'll make negative choices, or they'll waffle, they won't, you know, be very clear about where they are or what their choice is. Being fit and well means you're making those choices and you're making bold choices.
Mm-hmm. Very related to this term, fit and well, it's for me is taking suggestions you mentioned from the audience. It can be taking suggestions from the other actors on stage, taking suggestions from physical objects. Can you explain a little bit this term as well, please?
Sure. So what we would call is an offer. And like you were mentioning the book, Everything is an Offer by Rob Poynton. So improvisers, when anything they do on stage, if they say, I found your cat, they're giving the other actors an offer. And you can do a couple of things with offers. You can block it. You can say no to it. And usually what happens then, you might get a quick laugh by doing that, but the scene will go nowhere. You're not building flow with the other actors. You could just, what we call acquiesce to it, which is just to say yes, but not give anything back. What we and people at the Brody here think makes good improv is to accept offers. And accept is, people use the word yes and, but it's showing you heard what the offer that the other actor gave and giving and building on it, and really being changed by it. So But like you said, anything can be an offer. If somebody comes up and pretends to open a window but doesn't say anything, they've given the audience and the other actors an offer, that there is now a window right there. So we think for there to be consistency and flow in improv scenes, you have to be able to recognize offers, accept them, and build on them. Mm-hmm. So, and one thing improvisers will do, especially beginning improvisers, is they'll do what we call create aliens. They'll get nervous and they'll think, oh, nothing's happening in the scene. And they'll say, and then look, there's an alien ship coming down in the middle of a scene about a deli. So what we try to teach and we try to help people explore is building ideas off of the other actors' ideas, off of the offers that are already out there.
This is very interesting, you know, because for me, that I come from Spain, when I started exploring the improv scene, now in Spain, stand-up comedy is really, really a big thing, mm-hmm. really a big thing. So people, you know, they're broadcasting like theater shows where, you know, scripted comedies are performed live in front of audiences. And I don't know if people know so much about improv, which improv is a little bit different from stand-up comedy. We call one thing, which is El Club de la Comedia, which is like more scripted, pre-scripted scenes, like full of a lot of gags. And I don't know if sometimes people may confuse the terms stand-up comedy and improv, thinking that, you know, it's... I mean, I like stand-up comedy. There's times for stand-up comedy, too, but it's like if gags and gags and gags, and it's just like a, you know, a 15-minute show just laughing, whereas improv, it's not only... people may think it's like a gags and laugh all the time, but it's not only because someone said something really clever or and the other one said something that's even, you know, like more intelligent, how to say, but creating a scene that things happen. It's not only like who's the clever guy in the room, isn't it? Can you explain, or I don't know if I've explained already the difference.
No, you did a great job of explaining it. I think the difference is, and I agree with you, there's some great stand-up out there. And I think one thing that's true for both is good stand-up and good improv are about story. So when you get a stand-up who's up there talking about their own life and kind of telling stories, then you're going to be more engaged. And I think the same is true for improvisation. It's really about telling story. And you're right. It's not about going for the gag or going for the cheap laugh. It's about a team of people working together, becoming an ensemble. And by just doing that, by putting themselves out on stage, like I said, without a net, the audience buys into the fact that they're taking risks. So just watching people, sometimes making the most obvious choice, will get the audience to laugh. Just because they're built into this whole idea of people working together and liking each other and collaborating. So improv has this whole feel of collaboration that stand-up doesn't have. I think there's, even though stand-up is a really scary thing to do, and kudos to people who get up and do it, it's, I think, not as big a risk as doing really good improv with people. Because sometimes to be a good improviser, you have to completely let go of your own agenda and let go of your own status. And just, you know, sometimes what the scene needs is somebody just to come in and play the grandfather clock in the background. So it's not about me as an individual being seen. It's about giving the story what it needs. And that can be a hard thing for people to do.
Definitely. Someone who listens to this, I can definitely assure that I have seen Daryl Lambeau in action. And I can definitely say that you... dare to take risks, definitely. I was thinking of the word improvisation. I am exploring new ways to tell stories in social media. I am subscribed to the word improvisation. So in Spain, for instance, any time like the word improvisation is said, so I get like a Google alert, right? Uh-huh. And like it's a, like now, that's a little bit freak on improv. But 9 of 10 alerts, or those alerts, are negative things about improvisation. Mm-hmm. So the word, when we think about improvise, is the word that people might get is just negative feelings, you know, oh, you just improvised.
Yeah, I think there is that judgment.
Why is that? I don't even have an answer for that.
Yeah, I can tell you just from my own person. I have my friends who come to the show and say that they just get really scared because they're afraid we're going to fail. So that's the difference, and that's the skill improvisers have, is they're not afraid to fail. Because they know they can take what would be deemed as a failure, or maybe you mishear something on stage, or somebody, you know, goes in a different direction as another actor. Improvisers completely trust themselves that they're going to make that work somehow. Whereas some people come to improvisation and all they see is the mistakes. Or they get so nervous because they put themselves on stage, but they haven't taken a class. They don't really know that it's a discipline and that the people who do it consider it a craft, not just a bunch of people get up and just make jokes one day. It's something that you practice.
Yeah, you probably do more rehearsing than you do shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my friends will say to me, well, what do you mean rehearse improv? Isn't that cheating? It's like, and I just want to say to them, well, you wouldn't be on a basketball team and not practice. It's like, you have to practice. You have to practice being an ensemble and working together. And it really is a discipline. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's what makes people afraid of it, is they think it's easy, but it's not. It's work. Mm.
Definitely. Well, hopefully someone who's listening to this, I know that you are well-known here, but still someone who's listening to this here in Portland or in Spain, I really encourage you to call these guys improv groups and, you know, take them to make your a course or you know, take a class on improv. So I know in Spain there are a lot of people that some years ago are doing things in a small scale, but they are doing, like, a lot of work as well. So I really would encourage any company to you know, hire companies like Brainwaves, like you, or go to the Brody Theatre or any other theatre that's programming, like, improv shows.
Great. Yeah, me too.
Where can someone find information about you, your company, Daryl and Boo, and the Brody?
You can get on the Brainwaves website by going to www.brainwavesimprov.com. And the Brody?
Brody, that's www.brodytheater.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for your words. And as you said, Daryl, this is about practice, and we are going to practice now an improv class. So I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the interview.